Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, in beautiful New York City, you know him. As my friend and colleague and co-host of many years, his name. I don't know why I'm yelling, but your name is still Dan Rubenstein. How are you?
I'm good, Ty. And just before, right off the bat, there are times where I do want something more. Someone just more like me, I guess. There's times when this dress rehearsal, you and I, it seems incomplete, Ty. But you see the colors in me. You do this show like no one else, Ty. And behind your dark glasses, we're in glasses right now.
I would be content to let you read through all the lyrics, but that's got to be No Doubt.
It's, well, I don't know if is it No Doubt or is it just Gwen Stefani solo?
I think that was back in the No Doubt.
It's full No Doubt. Okay.
I'm not a music connoisseur like you and Bill Barnwell are.
You really love me underneath it all. Yeah, that's correct.
You ready for week five?
I am ready for week five. I think it's deep with intrigue, Ty.
Okay.
And that's not an introduction to Patriot League picks.
Right.
I am legitimately very excited for week five, even though we don't have, you know, bold in lights headliners. That's overrated. That's always overrated. It's all about depth of fun. And I think we got a lot of it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, first things first, before we go any further, we have gotten a litany of questions about the t-shirts because people ordered the t-shirts at the end of August. They still haven't gotten them. We had some issues with addresses being incorrect. We got confirmation that that shirts have started shipping out. So if you ordered a shirt, you should be receiving it within the next couple of days, hopefully. If you didn't get a chance to get in on the first run of Solid Verbal 2017 fall t-shirts, we will be doing a limited second run with our friends over at Cotton Bureau in a matter of weeks. After we get all these squared away, we will put that up there for people who want to get a last ditch t-shirt before they go away forever.
Yes, I think they are printed and they will be sent out by the end of this week is what I was told. So maybe weekend, maybe early next week, depending on where you are. They're coming out of, I believe, Florida.
Okay.
So there you have it.
The other thing worth noting is that the Reverbs will go off without a hitch this weekend.
Yes.
As I mentioned on the show last Sunday, our friend Taylor, our trusted deputy, out of the country, just temporarily, and unable to do Reverbs. We've got a gentleman by the name of Ryan who has so graciously offered to fill in. Actually, we had a handful of people offer their services, but Ryan was the first one to jump on in, so we're going to give him dibs.
You turned down Rick Rubin, which...
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, a chance to get him behind the knobs, but listen, we're loyal to people that listen to the show consistently, and we got to go with what we got to go with.
Other than that, though, I'm pretty excited for week five. I think deep with intrigue is an interesting way to describe it. When I talked about it last week in relation to our window of opportunity, which I will address here momentarily, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look to me like it was that loaded with headliners, and I still believe that. However, last week wasn't either, and last week was a great weekend of college football.
So Friday night actually is pretty exciting, and if you're listening to this Saturday morning, hoo boy, we were either right or wrong about that. But in terms of an actual window, I think there are some options. Before we get to that, quickly, can we take care of a couple of news items?
Yes, please.
Or nude items, as I sounded like I was saying.
We have
Tom Jurich is out at Louisville as athletic director. What does that mean? Well, sometimes when you hire a new athletic director, they like their guy in big positions, like head football coach, and in Louisville's case, head basketball coach, because Rick Pitino is either fired or on some sort of administrative leave, whatever. But this is a football show. What it means for Louisville football is, I believe this is correct, Bobby Petrino's buyout, so if he were to leave now on his own accord, gets cut in half.
So, hold on.
Yes.
Time out, my friend.
Okay.
You're telling me that Louisville might want to part ways with a moral giant of a man like Bobby Petrino. I find that very hard to believe, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. A juggernaut in the field of morality. I don't think they are in any sort of mood to right now because things are looking good. They just won a Heisman Trophy and the football team seems to be on an uptick, but that is something worth noting. And the other bit of news, Ty, is There are now players facing charges at Florida, significant players.
Yeah, 9 players facing multiple felonies. If you're wondering when the likes of Jordan Scarlett and Antonio Callaway will be rejoining their teammates, you could be waiting a while.
Doesn't sound like there will be. It's credit card fraud. It might pique the interest of federal prosecutors because once you start in with credit fraud, it sort of sets off alarms in all sorts of different places. So yeah. I wouldn't count on much in the way of these players returning anytime soon, in particular Jordan Scarlett, who money on his card, he sort of attributed to an agent putting it there. Him and his girlfriend said that. So it's a tangle in Gainesville right now. But who knows? They're playing Vanderbilt. They could still win. So that's all I have. There's updated Heisman odds if you're at all interested, Ty. But
gotta be Saquon, right?
Saquon's at plus 175.
Okay, so he's the prohibitive favorite.
I would stay away from Saquon, which I also think Saquon might be the most talented player, but injury risk and, you know, he had some down weeks last year. We'll see.
From a betting perspective, plus 175 in week 5 of the college football season, that does not represent great value. What that means is that for every $10 you put down, you get $17.50 back. You'd mm-hmm. almost be better looking further down on the list for somebody who maybe pays out 4, 5, 6 to 1.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts is plus 3,300, which seems intriguing at this point because he will keep putting up numbers, although he might be leaving games early. So that doesn't bode well for him. Jake Browning's at plus 4,000. Trace McSorley plus 5,000. I'd stay away from that.
Mm, yeah.
You can still get Sam Darnold at plus 700 if you really like him, but I don't even know where the value is on this list. So
yeah,
that's where we're at right now.
On that note, Dan, it's that time.
All right.
Dan, time. Help. I need picks of the week.
All right, let's just cut to the chase here, okay? Enough of the news, enough of all that jazz. Let's cut to the real bone here and talk about week 5. We've got a bunch of games here. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm losing count already. We got a huge list of games here that we're going to try and run through. Mm-hmm. As I said, maybe not the highest of highs in terms of matchups, but plenty of games that are of national interest, of interest to our listeners. And we're going to try to really run the gamut and tell you what's going on all around the nation this coming weekend. Regarding the window of, what are we calling
opportunity.
It? Window of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I've just been handed a note that the window of opportunity is on bye this week. It's being repaired.
It's a bye week?
It is being repaired this week. It will return for week 6.
Could we break it into halves? Because I think you could extend whatever you're doing in the morning till about 1:30 if you don't want to watch the first half of the Nooners. There isn't a huge matchup at noon. I don't think there's any reason to watch the first half of Vandy, Florida, the first half of Northwestern, Wisconsin. I think that's your probable window.
You can call it whatever you want. Window of opportunity is my trademark. Therefore, you need to come up with a name for
your own
sliver of humanity on a Saturday.
Yeah, I'm State of the Union rebutting.
Okay.
Peace! Sorry, is that too early?
A little bit.
Okay.
Let's start off 3:30 on Saturday. CBS, Georgia. The Dogs, 7.5-point road favorites at Tennessee. Dan, this is a huge game. Huge game for both schools. Last week was a bit of an eye-opener, for me at least. The downtrodden Notre Dame fan in me watched Georgia and what they did to Mississippi State and sort of smiled and said, hey, they might be pretty good after all. 31-3. I'll take that. Now they're on the road in, I would say, the most hostile environment they're going to play in all year against a team. And you know what they say in the business, and by the business, I mean the industry, Dan.
Sure.
Nobody puts Butch Jones in a corner, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
This is a game that I think the main reason you root for Tennessee is the potential reaction from Butch Jones.
Right.
If they were to somehow pull the upset, because you'd see tears, you'd have the hoarse voice, you might have some locker room dancing. There would be a lot to follow up on if the Volunteers should come away victorious in this game.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And it always feels like a game, Georgia-Tennessee specifically, that Georgia starts hot and we get a little too up on Georgia and Tennessee is hosting them or whatever the case. The other one brings each other back down to earth. There's a little bit of that in this. It's not a rivalry, but in this matchup, it seems more often than not. Or Tennessee starts really well with a ton of talent. They host or they go to Georgia and Georgia brings them a little bit back down to earth. I think Georgia wins this game if, and comfortably so, if they're patient. Because Tennessee does a good job of stopping big plays. Georgia needs to string together longer drives, particularly on the ground. I think the bigger plays will be tough against them. And Tennessee, I think, wins this game. And I know people are down on Tennessee because of the end of the Florida game. And they struggled to separate from UMass. And they gave up so much on the ground to Georgia Tech, although they pulled that game out. If Tennessee's defense does a good enough job of keeping Georgia sort of behind schedule, they rush the passer really well, Tennessee does. And if they can get creative with John Kelly, they're at home. I'm going to take the points in this game. I'm not confident in Tennessee winning, but I think they do enough things well with a running back as talented as John Kelly and playing at home and still Jake Fromm, who I like, excuse me, Jake Superior. I have 20-14 Georgia, Tennessee covers.
I think Georgia wins 28-20. I agree with your sentiment about them bringing each other back down to earth. That feels about right to me. Georgia wins because their defense can limit John Kelly and they can force Quentin Dormady to make some mistakes. I think that's what it comes down to. Along with that, I think there is potential for some big plays for Tennessee here. I could see a line where Quentin Dormady finishes with 187 yards, two touchdowns, a couple picks, maybe a 60-yard touchdown pass. Something. Mm-hmm. I think there are some big plays out there, but I still fear that they're a little too mistake-prone and that Georgia has what it takes in the front seven to limit what John Kelly can do.
So you're giving the points, but just barely.
28-20, Georgia covers, but ever so barely.
We sort of disagree.
3:30, ABC, Florida State, 7.5-point road favorites.
More home dogs.
At Wake Forest. And who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it that Wake is 4-0, Florida State is winless, they're lowly, they're out of the top 25 for the first time since 2011.
Yeah, not great.
A great story. You got John Wolford, you got the Wolford wagon rolling. 8 touchdowns, 0 picks so far this season. Do you ride the Wolford wagon now against the Noles, Dan?
I do not. Here's my problem. Florida State is a little bit vulnerable, as we saw last week against NC State, to bigger plays. If Wake is able to take chances on shots downfield or something like that, which they're not good at.
Nope.
It'll probably be through the air. Nothing, you know, crazy on the ground, trick plays, reverses, and whatever. Then they might be able to hang around. The big thing for Florida State when they're on offense is finishing drives. We've seen them so many times, especially, I mean, so many times they've played two games, but last week against NC State, settling for three attempts. And the Wake Forest defense is great, especially at keeping teams out of the red zone. So Florida State needs to just sort of jumpstart everything on offense. And I know they were beat up on both sides of the ball last week. I'm going to go with Florida State here. I don't think they're going to be able to move the ball a ton, but enough to barely cover. I'm going to have it 23-14, Florida State. I don't think Wake has the offense.
I looked long and hard at this game.
Lock of the week.
And John Wolford and the Wolford wagon. It's a great story.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that story. I mean, no disrespect to the claw fence, but Florida State should be able to play a backup quarterback and cover 7.5, right? Right. Am I wrong about that? It's Florida State.
Yeah, this is what always gets you into trouble, Ty.
I know, the road favorite.
Well, it's the road favorite, and you just saying, it's Texas. It's USC.
I know.
It's Florida State.
Oh, and God.
Wake is good. Wake isn't good, but Wake is pretty good, all things considered, within the context of the Deeks. Sure. They play good defense, Ty.
They do. I'm just not sure they can play good enough offense here to stay within 7.5. I think Florida State comes out hungry. I think they shut down Wake. I think John Wolford's under assault all game. I think James Blackman, he was a factor last week being a freshman, and he's got another week under his belt. Plus, there was rust on defense. Just like a lot going wrong, going against Florida State. That's not happening 2 weeks in a row.
It's shaken off the cobwebs in the way that teams do between week one and week two, but for James Blackman, between start one and start two.
That's correct.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to say Florida State 28-10. Lock it
we
up.
Agree. Not on the lock part, but yeah.
Moving on. Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Michigan State playing host to Iowa. To me, this game's dead even.
Okay.
Dead freaking even. You got two teams coming off losses. The Iowa loss was obviously a lot more dramatic. The spread here is 3 points in favor of Michigan State. The over-under is 45. From a Vegas, from a gambling perspective, Dan, this is like betting an NFL game. My big question is whether that loss from a week ago took a lot out of Iowa or not.
So do you have a pick?
I don't know.
It's 3.5?
Honestly, I have no idea what to make of this game. I looked at S&P numbers. I looked at our friends over at Massey Peabody, like every advanced and unadvanced metric I could find to try and figure this game out. Nothing really gleans much insight into it. I think Iowa's the better football team over the long haul, and I think that will bear itself out over the course of the season. So I will take the points here and go with Iowa, I think outright, but on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being least confident, 10 being most, I am definitely at about a 1.5.
All right, so this has a couple of factors that I like a lot. One, I think there's a big letdown factor going on the road to a loud place. It's not a night game, but I think there's 100% a letdown factor for Iowa going to Michigan State. Michigan State is going to play, you know, from what we've seen of them, they're going to play patiently. You would assume they're going to ride LJ Scott, hold on to the ball, LJ Scott, hold on to that ball. They're not going to try too much downfield. Iowa, we saw last week, they kept those safeties back, against Trace McSorley and Penn State and let them sort of chip away. Guess what happened? Saquon Barkley chipped away.
Yeah.
And I think LJ Scott is going to, Iowa's run defense isn't the greatest. They're not running the ball themselves all that well with Akram Wadley. Nate Stanley's going to have to take a couple chances against this Michigan State defense, maybe get them out of their game. I just think Michigan State's in a good position. They were outclassed last week, but I still am okay with Sparty right now against a letdown team. I have Michigan State 24-17.
It's going to be a score around there for sure. I'm going to go Iowa. I think they're the better team. I'm not totally convinced that Michigan State is bowl team worthy, 6-6 worthy at this point. I need to see what they can do against other teams. In many respects, I think this is one of your Sudoku games. I think this will tell us a lot about some of the other teams that each of these schools have played so far.
Yeah, that's fair. I thought last week was a little Sudoku-ish for Notre Dame and Michigan State, but yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's go to the ESPN 6 o'clock game, Dan.
I hate this game. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching it, but I hate the idea of picking it.
We've got Auburn at home, a 9-point favorite now against Mississippi State. This line's been all over the place, but I've got it at 9 at time of recording. It was a hard, cruel fall from grace for Mississippi State last week, wasn't it?
It was indeed, Ty. It was indeed.
We'll never know if there was any kind of letdown effect after that huge win against LSU, because a 31-3 road loss, gosh, that just leaves a mark. You can't tell.
I'd say so.
You can't tell if there was a letdown or if they just got destroyed. Either way, right. It's a 28-point blemish on the record. And now they're going to Auburn, a team that we haven't talked a whole lot about Auburn this year. We talked about them briefly when they squared off against Clemson and lost by one score. But Auburn's defense has been really solid. Granted, they played against a Missouri team last week. That's a bit of a tire fire, but defensively, we knew they'd be pretty stout coming into this season. It's worth mentioning that Jared Stidham looked really good last week. He's looked progressively better over the course of the season. Now he's completing over 70% of his passes.
I mean, Mizzou is...
I know.
It's not a bye week.
Temperate. I get it.
Not by Zoo.
We can play the sound for Missouri.
Biz. Oh, what a relief it is.
It's true. It's 100% true.
The cure for the common team.
Offense, whatever, yeah.
But Auburn can run. They can play defense. They're getting better quarterback play with each passing week. That, to me, feels like a really bad matchup for Mississippi State. I like Mississippi State. I like what they did against LSU. But we could maybe be veering into territory, especially after LSU struggled a tad with Syracuse last week, where LSU's not nearly as good as we expected, and perhaps that win, that 30-point win against LSU, was a bit of a mirage.
Not a mirage, but something to be taken within context of, okay, LSU's okay, but they're not very good at this point, at least. I didn't like picking this game because I don't love either one of these offenses, or really even like either one of these offenses. They don't generate big plays. They've been disappointing. There's running talent, but they've been nothing if not inconsistent moving the ball on the ground. Auburn should at least try to take some shots downfield, because Mississippi State, even if you watch any of that Georgia game, they can let some receivers behind them.
Oh, yeah.
They can do that. They had some awful moments, and I would test Mississippi State if I were Auburn, but the Auburn offense has been kind of dreck. Mississippi State themselves, they've got to figure out how to sort of spread the field and generate yardage, because I really do not think long, sustained drives will happen against this Auburn defense, which is sadly excellent with a very average offense at this point. So this game confused me a little bit. I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Auburn to cover here, 24-13. I just am not crazy confident in Mississippi State on the road against a good defense after what I saw last week. So Auburn by 11.
Lock of the week.
Have I convinced you?
I'm going back in, baby. Give me.
Did I convince you? I sold you?
No. I was going to let you go through all your histrionics before dropping that sound bomb on all y'all. Okay. This is a bad matchup for Mississippi State. It's a week after they got killed by Georgia. I think this game's back on the road. I think this game's probably more competitive, but I am all in on Auburn here. Give me the Tigers, lock it up, let's say 33-14 is your final score. Big home win for Auburn.
Yeah. Problem with Auburn is their offense is, I mean, they struggled with Mercer. It's not for me right now. Here's what I would, if I was thinking about this when you were talking about Auburn against Clemson, if players were able to make money off their own likeness, and if Jarrett Stidham, and I don't know Jarrett Stidham, I don't know who he is, but if he were to have a sense of humor about himself, wouldn't doing a commercial for a detergent in like a before and after that Clemson game? Look at all the dirt. Look how much abuse this jersey took.
A good Tide commercial, yeah.
You can't do Tide with Auburn.
That's true. No, that's true.
Bounce, Shout,
yeah.
OxyClean, any of those would work.
Heaven strike me down for saying Tide. I apologize.
There has not been a better detergent game this season than there has been for Jarrett Stidham and Auburn. So, yeah, I still like Auburn here.
Dan, speaking of sponsors, support for today's show is brought to you by our new friends, our old friends over at Audible.
Yeah.
Audible. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and much, much more from leading publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, and business information providers. It's unlike a streaming or a rental service. Okay.
How so, Ty?
Well, with Audible, you own the books. Mm-hmm. So you pick what you want, you own it, and then you can access them anytime, anywhere, from pretty much any device, iPhone, iPad, Android, Amazon, Windows, you name it. You can get it from everywhere. They make getting books in your life much easier. And if you're like my wonderful wife, or if you're like half the population that has a sizable commute into the office every day, Audible is a great way to pass the time. You're already listening to a podcast. Why not take the next step and actually enrich your life with some audiobook content? That's what Audible...
Great piece of advice, Ty.
That's what Audible brings to the equation, with truly an unbeatable selection of audiobooks and performances. Transform your commute and ride. Ride with Audible, Dan.
We ride.
Solid Wife does it. You should too. Right now, you can get a free audiobook with a 30-day trial at audible.com/solid. That's audible.com/solid. www.audible.com/solid, S-O-L-I-D. A free audiobook with a 30-day trial.
Huge library. Go for it.
Let's move on. Let's go to Saturday night, 8 p.m. ABC.
Saturday night.
This is the big one. It's the big one, Dan. Clemson.
Is game day here?
I think so.
I believe so.
I hope so. It's no Times Square, but
it's true.
Blacksburg's pretty exciting, especially when Clemson rides into town a 7-point road favorite against the Hokies. This is a rematch, you might remember, of last year's ACC championship game. That ended up being a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Tech was down, 21 points? They battled back to make it close. They ended up losing by a touchdown. This year, we have talked an awful lot about Clemson. A lot about Kelly Bryant. A lot about that Tiger defense. We haven't talked a whole lot about Virginia Tech because they beat West Virginia in week one.
And then?
And since then, it's been the likes of Delaware, ECU, and Old Dominion.
Courageous.
Which isn't exactly top flight competition. That said, Josh Jackson's been really good. Cam Phillips has been a straight up dude at receiver. The defense has been fabulous. There's an awful lot to like here, Dan.
There is.
So my question for you.
I'm ready.
Is Tech going to have any success moving the ball against this defense?
Maybe a little. The offense is pretty good. And Josh Jackson has hit some big plays through the air. But, versus Clemson, they have to be perfect. They have to be efficient. They have to get to third and threes pretty much every drive. They can't screw up with turnovers. And defensively, they're going to need to take chances against Kelly Bryant and get him out of any sort of rhythm. The Clemson offense has been, it's been very good. And other than the first three quarters of the Boston College game,
right,
they're good at, and they're not dropping bombs. They're not, coming away with trick plays that are going for 70, whatever. They're just long, sustained, efficient drives. They're out-talenting people, Ty. And neither one of these teams really is super explosive. And basically, to me, it comes down to whoever wins more first downs is going to win the game. I would love to take Virginia Tech to cover if they were better against the run. But I like how Clemson has quietly sort of shifted to a really good run team. Tavian Feaster, with Travis Etienne. These guys are good. And on top of this excellent defense, I have Clemson 28-13.
Wow.
I have no way to think about this game in a closer way. I could very well be wrong, but that's where I'm at because Blacksburg is a tough place to play. Have you been to Blacksburg, Ty?
Yeah. I've been to Blacksburg. Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And I because it's Delaware, ECU, ODU, I don't have the confidence in Virginia Tech right now because of just what we haven't seen. So I'm going Clemson 28-13. I think they're more tested and ready.
That's an absolutely fair assessment, and I considered much of the same when I was trying to put my preview together for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think here's what we know about Tech. They were able to move the ball against West Virginia. Clearly, that's not Clemson's defense.
So is Kansas.
Clearly, it's not Clemson's defense.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give you that. But I think defensively, Virginia Tech has what it takes to hold Clemson to 20 points. Because this is a good defense. It's not better than Auburn's. It's not better than Florida State's, but still really good. If anyone is going to outscore Clemson on offense, projecting forward, look at the rest of their schedule. If it's going to happen.
But there's the if.
If it's going to happen against anybody on this schedule, it's probably going to be Virginia Tech is probably going to be on Saturday night.
Ah, man. First year starter at quarterback. Young redshirt freshman. I mean, I'm looking at Clemson's schedule right now, and the rest of the quarterbacks on their schedule are.
Yeah.
Ryan Finley on the road is certainly something to worry about. James Blackman, we'll see what he looks like by November. Jake Bentley, we like, but it's still South Carolina with a ton of other questions. I mean, you're not fully wrong, but I don't know what Josh Jackson does against a really good defense. And I hesitate if other good quarterbacks against this Clemson defense have long struggles, long periods of struggle. I think he'll pop a couple plays, but
the odds are ever in your favor going Clemson.
Yeah.
Especially with that defense, which obviously is a huge equalizer and keeps them in every game from start to finish. There is no denying that. But I just think Justin Fuente last season showed us that he can be a really good coach when airdropped into pretty much any situation. And so far this year, Virginia Tech has looked the part. I like Josh Jackson. I am going to get crazy.
Oh, no. Do it, Ty.
I am going to get crazy.
And spice it.
I think that Virginia Tech wins this game outright, 24-20.
Oh, Ty, I appreciate that, because when I picked Louisville over Clemson, as soon as that game started, basically, as soon as Clemson took their first lead, there's nothing like picking against Clemson, seeing them take the lead, and then knowing immediately then, maybe end of the first quarter, somewhere like, oh, nope, I've lost this
game. A very quick death, right?
There is like this feeling you get watching Clemson and doubting them as soon as they get going a little bit on either side of the ball, where you're just like, well, of course this is what's happening.
How do you say Clemsoning? Well, how do you say Clemsoning backwards? That's what this is.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So I appreciate the moxie, but I'm gonna go with Clemson here.
Fuente last year, he showed how good of a coach he can be, and he almost got Clemson in that ACC game. Almost.
Yeah. Ish.
Now it's at home. It's at night. Lane Stadium's going to be rocking. Very tough place to play, even though Kelly Bryant's been very good this year. And even though I think there are enough pieces on his offense that can bail him out, even if he's not playing at 100%. I'm gonna get crazy. Why not?
I like how you glossed over the fact, like, 2016, Justin Fuente, first year, lost to Syracuse. lost to Georgia Tech.
Nothing to see here. Friday,
smooth gloss.
Friday, 10:30, ESPN. USC on the road, a 3.5-point road favorite in Pullman, Washington, at Washington State. Dan, we know Washington State can score. Not everybody knows that they can also play some defense. The focus for any Mike Leach defense is creating takeaways. That's what he's out there to do. So far, they're 18th in the nation in turnover margin at +4. That, to me, I think is significant here, because we've seen that Sam Darnold is certainly not immune to a ballsy throw over the middle or something that can get his team in trouble.
They're still, even with those throws, USC is still probably consistent enough through the air to keep drives going against, you're right, a good Washington State defense that does take the ball away. They've been inconsistent running the ball. Part of that is because Ronald Jones has been nicked up, didn't play against Cal last week. Their offense is pretty good. It is pretty good. On the road, short week, Pullman, weird place, late start East Coast. It's very clearly on the West Coast. I think they're going to be able to run it a good amount against Washington State. They need to get better finishing drives. They've stalled a little bit too much in the red zone or the green zone or whatever. And again, Washington State, good turnover team. If they can turn fumbles, Sam Darnold dumb throws into points, then Wazoo has a pretty good chance in this game, because they're built pretty well against this USC team. They're obviously good throwing the ball. They stay ahead of schedule and they get to third and shorts. I think they'll be able to sustain longer drives. And if I were Washington State, I wouldn't fully shy away from running the ball right at USC. We saw what Western did for a chunk of that game. We saw what Stanford could do with bigger plays, even Cal on the ground. So take Jamal Morrow and see what happens. And I would sort of probe and penetrate and puncture a little bit with him.
Settle. That's for the Patriot League.
Probe, puncture, penetrate. Come on, Ty. These are all family terms. I just hope you have your finger on the button. 31-30 Wazoo. Lock it up.
Lock of the week.
Are you going outright Wazoo?
I'm going outright Wazoo. I mentioned this game when we were looking way ahead at the schedule in the spring and the summer and preview time. This is what I have circled. USC's, you know, obviously not a lot of teams have had a week off yet, but short week going to Wazoo against a good quarterback, against an aggressive defense, and Wazoo probably shouldn't be undefeated. That Boise game was crazy, but here they are. This is, as they like to say, Ty, this is their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm going Cougs.
The de facto national championship game.
Home dogs.
And home dog. Do we want to make them home dog?
They're my home dog of the week, absolutely.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
Is it a little... Does it feel LRO to you a little bit for USC? If we're just going to throw all of our terms and phrasings.
Just empty the clip here on this game, Friday night, 10:30 ESPN. USC, I think, wins. I think it's 45-44. I think it's close. I'm with you.
1-point game.
Pullman, late night. One Michael Leach, who is never short on excitement in these weird games. There's a little bit of a luck running out effect with USC. You go back, you look at what they've done so far. There was a Texas game that was very close. There was obviously the Stanford game that was a blowout. We had the Cal game from a week ago.
Western was close for most
Western was
game.
Close for a while. It just doesn't feel to me like USC's in a position where they're going to be blowing teams out, especially good teams like Wazoo. Wazoo's going to be left to hang around. And when you're at home at night, that kind of scares me.
They didn't play Wazoo last year either, did they? So it's sort of a new thing for this staff.
New thing for the staff. Okay.
And it's an Adam Amin game, Ty.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The new Joe test, Friday Night Weirdness.
So I was thinking that maybe what we could do, you know, because we've been doing secret verbal stuff for a long time on this show.
Mm-hmm. That's how we met Adam.
That is how we met Adam. And, you know, he claims that he's one of us. He claims that he's a verballer, and he posts Instagram stories and the like, proving that he is, in fact, a verballer.
I went shoe shopping with him in Chicago, Ty.
Exactly. Okay. But I think, much like joining a fraternity or a gang or the mob, we need some sort
initiation?
Of... Initiation? We need some sort of initiation.
Okay.
What if we require him... during his broadcast on Friday night to say a random word like succotash or something like that.
So I think we can come up with a word that won't seem totally out of the ordinary that he can use within the flow of the game.
So you think succotash is a little too difficult?
It's a lot. Succotash is a lot.
Because he's a foodie.
Yeah, that's true. What about just the word beefy?
Beefy.
Yeah, because that's easy to describe a player that way up front. You know, USC's beefy defensive line
or
you know, Washington State's beefy right tackle. Let's go beefy. How about that?
We don't want to get him in trouble because we like Adam a great deal.
So is beefy okay?
Oh, I think beefy's fine. I think beefy's
okay, let's go beefy.
Beefy adds flavor. It adds context. It adds personality to a broadcast.
He can also, if he doesn't want to label a player in that way, he can talk about, ESPN's slate on Saturday is beefy. Look
beefy
at all these great games.
Here.
Yeah. So I think, if he is truly one of us, though, he will use the word beefy during his broadcast. And please let us know if you're watching the USC Wazoo game, in case we miss it, that he does, in fact, use it.
All right. So we're both going Wazoo plus the points in the Adam Amin game.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get to some week five rapid fire action.
Here we go.
But before we do.
Oh, Ty, I was ready.
Are you hiring Mr. Rubenstein?
Always. Always looking for quality candidate. Ty, we needed somebody to do the reverbs.
Where do you post your job to find the best candidates?
Ty, if you want to know zip, don't go to other places. Go to ZipRecruiter.
Finding great talent can be tough, but thankfully with ZipRecruiter, you can post your gig to 100+ job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology, it efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anybody else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike the other job sites, ZipRecruiter, they don't depend on candidates finding you. It proactively goes out and it finds them. 80% of employers who post jobs on ZipRecruiter, they get a quality candidate through their site within just 24 hours. No juggling the emails or the calls to your office. All you got to do is screen, rate, manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter and their easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all shapes and sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, Solid Verbal listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Free,
I mean, that sounds like that's a great price.
I noticed that you're silent. I was equally as silent when I saw free.
I'm astonished, Ty.
Go to ZipRecruiter.com/solid. That's ZipRecruiter.com/solid. You can try it for free. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/solid, post jobs, get the right candidates for your job.
Do it. My goodness.
Now it's time to go rapid fire.
Let's.
Rapid fire game one, Saturday at high noon, Vanderbilt at Florida. Oh, God, why did I put this game on the list?
I don't know, Ty. I am starting to question everything.
Oh, no.
Go through it as quickly as you can.
Florida is a 10-point favorite here. We already mentioned that there are 9 Florida players facing multiple felonies. We won't go back over that. Dan, I wouldn't take Florida minus 10 against anybody right now.
Okay. I have some Vanderbilt game tape from last week to show you.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm not sure from week to week that Florida can score 10 points. Mm-hmm. So there's no chance in hell, even at home here, that I can logically get myself to a place where I'm willing to lay the points with Florida. So I'm going to go Vandy plus the 10, even though I supremely believe that Florida is the better team.
Garbage game, take the points. That's what I have. 16-10 Florida.
Saturday at high noon, Northwestern at Wisconsin. I've got Wisconsin listed at a 14.5-point favorite. I think we've both been pretty underwhelmed by Northwestern this season.
That's fair.
And it's quite disappointing because we were really high on these guys. I know I was before the start of the year. Now they go to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's really good. Really good.
They really are.
Did you look at their schedule lately?
I don't think I have to, Ty.
Wisconsin is going undefeated in the regular season. I would bet money on it. At a minimum, they're going 11-1. Listen to this. Northwestern this week, at Nebraska, Purdue, Maryland, at Illinois, at Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, at Minnesota.
Yes.
That is definitely workable if you're the Wisconsin Badgers.
I would say so. Go Bucky Badger.
Let's go Wisconsin here. Let's lay the 14.5.
To beat Wisconsin, you need to string together some bigger plays against this very good defense. Penn State didn't chip away going 3 yards at a time. Northwestern does not have big plays. I think Wisconsin wins this one comfortably, 38-17.
Saturday at high noon, we've got Maryland on the road at Minnesota. Minnesota, a 12-point favorite. One of those games that looked a whole lot more interesting a couple weeks ago. Because since then, we've discovered that playing quarterback for Maryland is like playing drums for Spinal Tap, Dan. Both so Tyrell Pigram and Kasim Hill officially done for the season. We saw what happened last week when they had something called a Max Bordenschlager in at quarterback for the Terrapins. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I want to fear the turtle. But right now, with that quarterback situation, I'm more inclined to row the boat with PJ Fleck and that row the boat mentality. Give me Minnesota minus the 12.
Ooh, I like that. They haven't been running all that well, but I am concerned about going with Maryland. I think Maryland can hang in this game a little bit because of their defense, but give me Minnesota with a front door cover, Ty.
Whoa, okay.
I think they ultimately wear Maryland down and they win this game by a couple touchdowns.
Saturday at 3:30, it is the Big 12 team from Waco. Traveling to Kansas State, where the Wildcats, I forgot their name.
The Little Apple.
Where the Wildcats are a 17-point home favorite. If, humor me here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
If the Big 12 team from Waco is now officially going with Zach Smith, and if they look better on offense like they did against Oklahoma, I am inclined to go with them here to cover the point spread. I don't think K-State's good enough on offense to get 17 points of separation.
So, all good points all around. Problem is, The team from Waco's defense, garbage.
Yeah.
Real bad, especially against the run, which is where Kansas State, I think, will thrive. I think they run all over them. And it's also maybe a bit of a letdown week for the team from Waco after hanging with Oklahoma. So I'm going to go Kansas State to cover here. I think they win by 20. Let's go 45-25.
I'm going Big 12 team from Waco.
Actually, they're not going to score that many. Let's go 34-13.
I'm going Big 12 team from Waco to cover 17. It's a lot of points. Okay. Saturday at 3:30, we've got Indiana on the road at Penn State. Penn State, a 17-point favorite. And, by the way, we've been talking a lot about Saquon Barkley. We've referred to him as the game genie.
Yes.
I think the game genie's on display in this game.
No way! Because we got game genie! No problemo!
I think Penn State wins by 21, 45-24 here against Indiana.
Okay. I'm a little more curious than you are about what Penn State looks like going forward. Indiana does a good job, not unlike what Iowa did, limiting things defensively. I don't think Indiana has the offense this year. So this was a 7-point game going into the fourth quarter last year,
right,
in Bloomington. I think Penn State wins this game. In the end, the score looks kind of comfortable, but I like this defense. 27-13 Penn State, Indiana covers.
What is it that Indiana limits exactly?
They play good defense. They tackle well. Here, Saquon Barkley against Indiana last year was 33 carries for 58 yards. Ty, you getting hot and bothered?
Not from that line, no.
Okay, just making sure. And it's a different team. It's a different offense, different defense, et cetera. It's a different head coach for Indiana. I think they're going to do a good enough. Listen, you're not going to fully contain the game genie, but I think they're going to be all right.
Ohio State, they didn't limit much in the end. Virginia was their second game, and Georgia Southern in their probable worst offense in college football was their
And beating game. Virginia, is that okay?
It's fine.
It's looking better.
Saturday, 7:30, South Carolina on the road at Texas A&M. A&M, a 10-point favorite. I kind of think A&M is undervalued here.
Why?
I like them at home. I think they've looked better offensively. And I'm not totally sold on South Carolina. I don't think South Carolina can keep up with an A&M offense that seems to me like it's starting to figure it out. So I'm going to go A&M and lay the 10.
I agree. They got to stay patient. They should be able to move the ball against South Carolina. Got to avoid the hangover from last week. Overtime win over Arkansas. If they get South Carolina to third and longs consistently, they should be all right. I just don't trust South Carolina at this point. So, yeah, I'm going to go Texas A&M by 13-17 here.
Saturday at 8 p.m., Oklahoma State. The Cowboys, a 9-point road favorite at Texas Tech. This, of course, is a week after the big loss against TCU. Now Oklahoma's on the road. It's at night. It's in Lubbock, which we've talked about time and time again on this show, is a little bit like playing on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Tech defense, while it does leave a lot to be desired, has played better in spots so far this season. They've clearly got the offense. I think we go with the points here. I almost got crazy and went Tech outright, but I think this is a close shootout-y kind of game. I'm going to say Oklahoma State wins 45-41.
I like that score a whole lot, Ty. I'm going to take the points in a shootout as well. Texas Tech is going to be able to run the ball, I think, all right, against Oklahoma State, not unlike what TCU did last week. So I'm going to go, I have 41-38 written down. Oklahoma State wins, but it's back and forth.
Saturday at 9 p.m., we've got Ole Miss going to Alabama. Bama, a 27.5-point favorite. Dan, I asked a question a few days ago on Twitter. Have you heard of something called an Instant Pot or an Instapot?
I have not. Ty, teach me.
Apparently now, this is some kind of super crock pot.
Okay.
A super crock pot, it's a pressure cooker, a crock pot. It's got a sous vide function, all sorts of bells and whistles built into this thing. And I'm not kidding. The second I threw it out there into the Twitter sphere, I immediately got something like 30 replies.
Really?
People are all in on this thing. I'm surprised you don't know about it.
I do not. I don't have a lot of room in my kitchen, Ty, I'll be honest with you.
I read about this after my friend Bob, a Verballer, asked me about it.
Okay.
And it seems like this is the real deal. And perhaps we're entering into a new phase of crockpotting now with Alabama. Like, maybe we need to look at what the Instapot can do, because it's like a crockpotting. It's got that effect, but it's much, much quicker.
So isn't that almost like, oh, it's a pressure cooker, Ty?
Yeah, but it's like so much more than just that.
Is it?
That's what people tell me.
Okay, it just seems like a pressure cooker, but that's great.
I'm going to go Alabama minus anything here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Alabama minus anything either. They should be able to run all over Ole Miss, who severely does not have big playability without an A.J. Brown at full strength.
I think it's
it wouldn't have mattered either way.
I think it's an Instapotting.
An Instapotting.
Yeah.
Okay. Pressure cook.
Saturday, 10:30, Colorado on the road, a 7-point dog against UCLA, finally back in Pasadena. I think UCLA either wins this game by like 35 or they lose by 3.
This is what I have written down next to this game in my notes. UCLA has to be okay 1 week, right? Right? I don't have a good reason. I mean, Jake Browning looked very good against this Colorado defense in the rain last week at times. UCLA should put up some yardage through the air, at least, against Colorado. And the defense is fine. Offensively, I have some concerns about Colorado. It just, like, they have to be all right 1 week.
Yeah.
Right? I have 28-20 and they cover. Barely UCLA wins. I don't feel great about it.
So far, UCLA has played a team in Memphis that could pass and they got scorched. And then last week, they played a team that could run in Stanford and they got scorched again on the ground. You know, way back when we thought this defense had potential to be good, so far it hasn't really come to fruition. I'm going to go Colorado here. I think they can control the game offensively, slow it down, do enough with Philip Lindsay, force some mistakes with their defense, which is still pretty solid. I think Colorado goes on the road and wins here.
We disagree.
Saturday, 10:30, another Pac-12 after dark E kind of game. Mm-hmm. Cal, a 13.5-point underdog on the road in Eugene, in the midst of a brutal stretch for them. Last week against USC. Ooh. Now they're at Oregon, next week at Washington. Then they come back home against Wazoo. We have a decent idea what Cal is so far this season because we've had a chance to see them play some better opponents. I think they're better than what we thought they were going to be. Oregon, I still think, is better, but we know Cal can score, so I'm inclined to say 41-31, Oregon wins, Cal covers.
Very solid Pacific Northwest and Oregon contingent on this Cal coaching staff.
Yeah, that's
true. Steve Greatwood, offensive line coach. Right.
Sure.
Jerry Azzanaro, defensive line coach. Bo Baldwin, the head coach at Eastern Washington. So familiar with Oregon personnel. Probably not Azzanaro. It's been a while. But it's a good bounce back spot for Oregon if this offense is happy with 6 to 7 yard plays, which is great because I think they're going to be able to get it against this Cal defense. If they are in the sort of business of just downfield, and not willing to get to 2nd and 4, 3rd and 2s, that kind of thing, that's how you beat Cal, and that's how you probably beat Cal comfortably, because I just don't think they have the depth to be driven on all game long. On the other side of the field, I think you're relatively right. You know, Ross Bowers is fine. I don't think he's crazy good, but he has been successful. I'm not crazy about this Cal offense, but they make plays when they need to make plays. Oregon, I think, is going to be without an inside linebacker, a starting inside linebacker, and at least a couple safeties, it sounds like. So maybe there's opportunity to take advantage up the middle through the passing game. I still think I'm going to go with the bounce back spot. I think there's going to be energy there. 13.5 is the spread.
Yeah.
I think they win this game by 17 to 20 points. I have it at like 45-24.
45-24.
Yeah, I think they're together. I think they're going to use the speed on offense they have a little bit better than they did against ASU when they didn't give it to Tony Brooks James or Taj Griffin nearly enough.
Excuse me, Tony Brooks Flames?
Tony Brooks Flames.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So
we disagree, but that's
fine. We disagree.
Friday, we're back to Friday, 7 p.m. An interesting game.
Oh, I'm going to watch the hell out of this. Actually, I can't. I have a birthday party to go to, but I'm going to DVR the hell out of this.
Friday, 7 p.m., we've got Miami minus 6.5 on the road at the Dukies.
Dukies!
The Canes are good.
They are.
They're good this season. They've only
played... We think.
They've only played two games because of the storm, so no one's really talking about them yet. We did allude to what Mark Walton is doing on our last podcast, and he's been great so far. He's averaging 13 yards per carry. Defense had some issues last week against Logan Woodside, official quarterback of the Solid Verbal, but who hasn't?
Right.
Also, it's worth noting that Duke's pretty good. And they're actually running the football pretty well. I think this could be a fun game, Dan.
I think it's going to be extraordinarily fun. I don't think Duke wins this game, even though they're at home and they're home dogs. So in their limited experience, and this is opponent adjusted, in the S&P worlds, Miami is the number one most efficient offense in the country, which means they get to first downs with extreme regularity. They stay ahead of schedule and they get to third and twos, third and threes, whatever. Duke, defensively, they basically play a full court press on a football field.
Right.
They just like, we're just going to throw everything at you. You're going to get a couple big plays. We know that. We know you're going to get some breakaway dunks. That's fine. We're going to swarm you. We're going to hound you. We are going to make you question everything you stand for. Duke is going to get after it defensively. And so their efficiency is actually really good. They'll just give up a bunch of big plays. So they will force you to stay focused. And I think this game will start out really fun. Ultimately, I think the talent wins out and I think Miami's going to run over them a little bit. But I think it's worth watching if you are on the fence about, and why should you be on the fence? Unless you have plans Friday night, maybe invite somebody over and watch this game with a pal. I think it's going to be fun because we have the Adam Amin beefy doubleheader coming up after.
That's right. I'm going to go Canes 33-20. And I think they're able to get enough big running plays from Walton to propel them over the top here.
I'm curious about the first half. They started slow against Toledo last week and a little vanilla play calling. I think they're going to be more aggressive this week against Duke.
And finally, let's go back in time. Thursday 8 p.m., Texas on the road, a 6-point road favorite against the Iowa State Cyclones, Dan. You know I'm high on Iowa State. You know I'm going to go Iowa State plus the points here.
Are you Hiowa?
What's that?
Hiowa. You're Hiowa State.
That's right. I'm going to go Iowa State here to at a minimum cover because I've been high on Iowa State all season, which makes me a little bit biased. What do you think?
So Texas coming off a bye week. Is Iowa State also coming off a bye week? They are indeed. They are indeed coming off a bye week. And so they're at home Thursday night in Ames. I don't know if I've seen who's starting this game, if it's Ellinger or Shane Bichelle. I think I'm going to go with Iowa State, at least to cover. I think we get a weird shootout-y type game. I think it's going to be tough to get up for this game if you're Texas. And this is Tom Herman going back home to a place he coached a long time ago. Am I going to roll with Jacob Park and David Montgomery? I think I'm going to. Is it because I want it to happen versus thinking it's going to happen? Quite possibly. But let's roll with Iowa State to lose by a field goal.
Duke of Hazard, Alan Lazard.
Yeah. I like the pieces.
All right. There you go. Bunch of games here on the show this evening. We appreciate everyone for listening. We'd encourage everyone to make sure that they dial in at 408-VERBAL-1. That will be our Reverb line, as it always is this weekend. Send us your voice messages, your text messages. We'll do our best to incorporate as many of those into our Sunday programming as humanly possible. I would also remind people again that if you bought a Solid Verbal t-shirt several weeks ago, that those are in the process of being printed up and shipped out. You and I are also doing Facebook video.
Yeah.
Somewhat frequently at our Facebook page at facebook.com/solidverbal. So please do like the page.
Do you have plans for Sunday? You've done Wegmans and making breakfast.
Yeah. I haven't decided yet. I'm entirely open to suggestions.
Do you have any family activities? Do you have a brunch with nieces? What do you have weekend plans where you could incorporate guest stars, cameos?
I have no real weekend plans. To be honest.
Mama H is probably too shy, right?
Yeah. No, Mama H, Solid Wife aren't interested in being part of this camera show.
I might rope Papa Rubenstein because parents are in town this weekend.
Oh.
Maybe we'll get a guest star from a Rubenstein family member. I don't know if we'll make picks. I don't know what we'll do. I'll get something.
Well, see if you can work that out. And if anyone wants to email in some suggestions, solidverbal@gmail.com is still the email address. I'm willing to get creative with my Sunday video spots because I'm up early anyway. Right. And doing something creative like that at an early hour just jumpstarts the brain. Gets me ready for the show.
True. One and a half more things, Ty.
Please.
My half a thing is Memphis and UCF was rescheduled for this week.
Okay.
Who, buddy, do those two teams have fun offenses that just produce 83-yard plays? That just flip over, put it in a picture-in-picture. I think that's a 7 p.m. start in Orlando. And finally, Ty, I have a request, if you may.
Is this from a listener?
No, this is not from a listener. No. This is just from my heart to yours.
Okay.
Will you drop that sopping, syrupy, oscillating, rupturing drum and fife?
Do you write those terms down or do you just think them up on the fly? Yeah.
No, sometimes it's on the fly. Sometimes I think of it at some point on Wednesday and I just go to thesaurus.com.
Yeah, I love the thought of you just stopping whatever you're doing, running to a notepad and writing sopping. Just so you
it doesn't bring me any great pleasure to admit this, Ty. I have in my bookmarks, and I haven't used it in a while, but I have a bookmark entitled Romantic Adjectives. Ty, Lehigh is on the road against something called Wagner or Wagner.
Wagner.
Who's to say?
Yeah, it's gotta go, you gotta go Wagner.
Rough start for Lehigh.
Being a tough go here, tough sledding for the Mountain Hawks. I think they dig their talons into Wagner.
To Wagner?
This game. I'm gonna go, let's say 23-12, your final score.
Oh, wow. I'm clicking Wagner to see. I have no idea where they are. Do you know they're 1-3 and 7th in the NEC, which I assume is the Northeastern Conference. I'm gonna go Lehigh as well. They get on the board in the sort of victory way. They're 0-4 right now. Let's go with Lehigh, Ty.
Okay. Yeah.
What's next?
Colgate at Cornell.
I'm sorry, I'm looking up. Wagner College is here? Staten Island? Is that true?
Wow, you go to that game.
I could go. It's their football stadium is called Wagner College Stadium.
Wagner College Stadium.
Wagner, excuse me. All right. Colgate and who?
Colgate and Cornell.
Colgate Cornell. Mmm. Nellies are Gators. Nellies are Gators. I don't think you go in. Go Big Red. You don't go in to the Nelly Dome and just come out with a victory. Let's go with Cornell here.
I'm going Colgate. Excuse me. Lafayette at Holy Cross, Dan.
Okay. I'm going Crusaders and it hurts me, Ty.
Wow.
It hurts me right where it counts.
Wow. With Papa Rube's coming into town, no less.
Coming into town, Lafayette is also 0-4.
Yeah, yeah.
And Holy Cross is...
Holy Cross is pretty good.
Success.
I'm going to go Crusaders as well.
Okay, it's in Worcester, which is tough, Ty. It's tough.
Yeah. Harvard at Georgetown. Nobody goes to multi-sport field and emerges unscathed. Give me the Hoyas at home.
Love the Hoyas here, Ty. We agree.
Yale, the other half of that Harvard-Yale rivalry, is on the road in another house of pain, except they are going to Fordham. I think Fordham feels scorned that game day went to New York the week they were out of town. I like Fordham, and I like them big.
Everybody's talking, Ty, about the undefeated Yaleys. Mm. And I think they've had just about enough of this win streak. I'm going Fordham here, Ty.
Yeah.
I'm going Fordham. I was going to say lock it up, but that's ridiculous. I have an idea, Ty.
Okay, we got one more game here.
Okay, continue.
Monmouth at Bucknell.
Mm. Okay, so I'm going to roll with Monmouth here. They're 3-1. Everybody's talking about the Hawks, as it appears their nickname is. I'm going to go with Monmouth over Bucknell. I think they go to the Nell O Dome and take it away from the Bison.
Yeah, I'm going to go Monmouth as well. I'm
New Jersey, right?
I'm not a Nelly fan at all.
I know, that's right. Holding a grudge. Monmouth, right now, first in the Big South.
All right, what's your idea?
I think we need to start... We need to shift away from being excited about the Patriot League. And I think we need to shift it to like a first take style arguing about the Patriot League in a much more passionate, angry way than anybody would ever. We can call it first pate.
Okay.
And I think we really just need to. We need to embrace Patriot League debate, Ty, in a way that everybody, I think, is too scared to right now.
We could pivot entirely to video. Yeah. I could wear a three-cornered hat.
Are you kidding me, Lehigh? Are you kidding me?
Does Colgate have a Cornell problem?
You see, you weren't angry enough there.
Okay. I'm not an angry person. So that could
be. The F in Fordham stands for fraud.
You have to drag me into that, but perhaps that's something we can do. Hey, this was a fun show.
I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I'm feeling that voice thing creep up again where I lost my voice for 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Get some honey lace tea. Treat yourself.
All right. Well, this has been a fun show. We appreciate everyone hanging with us here. Don't forget you can subscribe if you're going out to Apple Podcasts or to Spotify or Google Play or really anywhere, any app that allows you to aggregate a podcast. You can find The Solid Verbal. Please do tell your friends. And if you're listening somewhere where you can rate the show, all of those ratings and reviews absolutely help. We appreciate every last one of them. And would encourage everyone who likes the show to give back in kind by rating and reviewing. That's all I got, man.
I think that's all I have, too. Lafayette, more like a laughing stock, Ty.
Settle. Keep
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, I'm just getting into that place. I'm very excited for First Pate. Yeah, Ty, I've had a wonderful time.
On that note, for that guy, my good friend Dan Rubenstein over there in New York City, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, here in good old Allentown, PA. Thanks again for listening to the show. We'll catch you all on Sunday. Enjoy the games. Stay solid.
Peace.